On this episode of The Flatus Show, number 76, Muslim Butcher Shops, Ezra Nehemiah Esther, Emily Dickinson, Texas, and Dog School. All this and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Tab for my diet. Little Jose just got up. That tab really shot all over the place. Tabalicious. It's Christmas Eve. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Hold on. My sheet music has tab on it. Oh, Martha, so pure. Okay. Tab. Okay. Welcome to the Flatus Show. I'm Kenty. Jose, my co-host. Jose, do you want to get out of here? While I do that, you can call me at 206-339-JOSE. Oh, Jose's coming back. He's doing a little downward doggy. He's going back to sleep on my coat. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE and leave me a voice message. That's a phone number courtesy of K7.net. You, too, can get your own phone number from K7.net. When you get this phone number, it's free to get, doesn't cost you anything. People will call it, and you can have it set up so that the voice messages are sent to your email inbox. And then you can play them back and listen to them or whatever. I put them on the show. I was going to change the my message on my on mine, but I don't know how to do it because I want to say, you know, leave a message, but it's going to go onto the show instead of saying, oh, yes, and by the way, make sure you say I can use the message. So anyway, it says on the voice machine, you know, if let me know if I can use it on the show, but I'm just going to use it regardless of what you say, so. You're leaving me the message, man. You know it's the show, right? Clearly. I mean, you know. Actually, it's funny. I got a fax through there once from a realtor asking me about tenants somewhere. That was interesting. But anyway, back to reaching me. You can also reach me at email address, flatusshow@gmail.com. And you can reach me at kenty@theflatusshow.com also, K-E-N-T-I-E. Flatusshow@gmail.com might be easier. You can come visit me at theflatusshow.com. It's my website, and you'll see links when you reach that website. You'll see links for my show, different parts of it, the podcast and the Amazon.com store, which is a new feature. Actually, I've had it for a while, but I'm looking out the window. There's people stopped out behind our car, and they have a baby in a stroller. It's very warm, by the way. It's like 41 degrees. And, what are they doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? They stopped in front of our driveway, so. Where am I? I'm lost. I need some more tab to wake up. Tab. So, yeah. Tonight, my John and I are going to go out caroling because it's Christmas Eve. Did I say that already? And today's show is going to be really great. I have phone calls. Let's see what else. I have phone calls. Plus, I talk a bunch of, well, you know what this show is like. Variety show. Ukulele. You can dance yourself because, you know, that I don't have anything to show you for. I can't dance, really. Well, I did dance once on the show. But you can dance at home to the ukulele sounds. So anyway, I wanted to have some important messages here. Robert, remember Robert from Arizona? He used to be on my Frapper map and then disappeared. And I was like, where is Robert? Is he shopping at Bloomingdale's? Well, as as you know, I have a hard time understanding Frapper anyway, and it's gone through several changes. So I was looking at Frapper, and I open up this door to, like, this little door in the Frapper. I click this link, and there was a message from Robert from April 24th of 2006. But he's back on the map. And he said he was doing something with Frapper, and it deleted it. And he heard me talk about him, and he came right back. And he said that the spring line at Bloomingdale's was so jejun. So, welcome back, Robert, if you're still listening. I have thought about you quite often, but wondering why Robert left. Why did Robert leave? What did I do so badly? Because he said I was the best on the Frapper map. That was his comment. Flatus, you show you're the best. Oh, Robert, thank you. Thank you, Robert. MySpace, you can reach MySpace. All of these links, the Frapper map, the MySpace page, you can find them when you come to my web page, theflatusshow.com. Click on the podcast, and you'll see a blog. And the most recent entry will be my show, and you can click on the links. There are links there to take you to these different pages. Now about MySpace page. Okay, there is another listener who sent me a birthday greeting, Music Bear. I believe he's in Chicago. Music Bear, thank you so much. I had a wonderful birthday. My partner actually took me out to dinner last night for my birthday because during the week it was just too hectic. But thank you so much for your birthday wishes. I also want to thank for my friend Sam for sending me a little gift. So thank you, Sam, if you're listening. Let's see here. Other listeners. I also got an email from a listener, Laura, who's at LiveJournal. I guess she listens to my show on LiveJournal. And Laura, thank you for writing. I know you wrote actually a while back. It was actually a couple weeks ago. But I've been meaning to say hello, but I have limited brain cells at this time of year. Let's see what else. So thank you. So everybody, say hi to Laura and Music Bear. Let's see here. Okay, yeah, the Amazon.com store. What I'm doing is I talk about different things, and then I think to myself, oh, I guess people might be interested in, you know, finding these products I talk about. And it sounds covert, I guess. I mean, like I'm trying to sell them. I really am not. They just come up. You know, it's actually things that I have that I talk about because I love them, not because anybody's trying to ask me to sell them for them. For example, the ukulele I have listed on my webpage, I wouldn't get any money from that if you bought it from Janet Davis or whatever. Just the reason why I have it her listed is that's the only place I found the high-low tenor ukulele for sale online with a really good price. And that's my favorite ukulele, is this high-low. The high-low. And if you get a high-low, I recommend tuning it at B-flat. And it's nice. I need to dust my ukulele. Okay. I play it enough, too. You know, just certain parts of it get dustier than other ones, okay? I want to mention another podcast I've listened to for a long time. It's La Chieca at Unnatural Acts of Opera. It's a podcast. Each episode is a complete act of an opera. And she, La Chieca is host of the Unnatural Acts of Opera podcast. There's a page, Parterre Box, the queer opera zine, which is online. You can find that at parterrebox.com or whatever. You'll find it. If you look up Unnatural Acts of Opera, you'll get there. Look up for La Chieca. But anyway, I wanted to mention this, is that earlier this year, Valley of the Dolls was released on DVD for the first time. I believe it was the first time. Maybe it was a special reissue. But, I mean, it's like one of the gayest movies there is. I didn't hear anybody talk about it, though I did buy it and I watched it. But La Chieca uses the Neely O'Hara climbing up the ladder of success song. Neely O'Hara in the movie has this one song which she sings on a benefit program, and then there's an instrumental arrangement of it. It goes through a sequence as you see images of Neely O'Hara working and becoming like a bigger star. So that's that. So thank you for using that, because I like listening to it every time when you give the news, La Chieca. If you're listening, I don't know if you are. Probably not. But my listeners can go to Unnatural Acts of Opera. Subscribe to the podcast. You'll get operas free. I mean, she gets some good shit too. So she gets some good shit, Sharita. Now go to Unnatural Acts of Opera and subscribe if you like opera. What else is there? I think that's it for today. Oh, Citizen Joe. It's a blog. Interesting. That's it. And on with the show. But first, the phone calls I received this week. And then on with the show.
Hey, Ken. It's Randy. I am out doing some Christmas shopping. And as I often do, I have the Flatus show playing in my car. And I heard the version of In This Life that you did at my request, and I gotta say, I really appreciate you doing that. Very nice. I'm not sure who originally did it. The version that I heard and fell in love with was done by a Hawaiian singer, Brother Iz, or Brother Iz, as I guess it says on all of his albums and stuff, who is dead now. I didn't realize that Bette Midler had did a version of it until I started looking into it for you. But I heard hers, and I didn't care for her that much. Anyway, the reason I enjoy the song is the poetry of the lyrics more than anything else. I thought you did a fine job. I appreciate that. Just wanted to let you know that I'm a couple weeks behind. I didn't want you to think I missed it. I heard it today, and it was awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Ken. This is Big C.
Your bestest friend.
Hey, and your former co-host of What I Believe. And, man, I miss doing a show with you. Do look forward to after the holidays chatting with you some on Skype. But I'm calling to figure, since Christmas Eve is on Sunday, you'll probably do the show early this week if you do one, if you don't skip it. So just wanted to wish you and John and Jose and all of your listeners Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, man. Hope you have a good one.
Hey, Ken, this is Steve Webb with the Lifespring Family Podcasts. I'm here with the lovely Lady Leanne and two of my sons, Stephen and Timothy, and we're wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas filled with love, joy, and laughter. May this Christmas be blessed beyond your wildest dreams, and may you find the peace that Jesus came to bring on that very first Christmas morn.
Merry Christmas!
Bible reading to confuse the Orthodox believer. Hello. So this is this section is it's the Bible reading, right? But you know, I'm reading the Bible in 90 days. That's my plan, and it's a book. There's a version of the Bible I bought called Bible in 90 Days, and every 12 pages is marked off. And if you read 12 pages a day, you finish the book actually in 88 days, and there's two grace periods. However, I am on track. So I have just finished reading. I'm in the Job right now. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And I find them very strange, these three books. They're unlike any of the other books I have read so far, and it seems like the narrative has changed. Ezra and Nehemiah is about the rebuilding of the temple and Jerusalem from different viewpoints. And Esther is an entirely different book about saving the Jews from extinction. There is, I think these three books are probably, okay, when I read these three books, there are certain sections which reminded me of World War II and Hitler's extermination of the Jews. And I would imagine that this is where Hitler got the idea. One thing is this, is that in Ezra, let me find it. Ezra 9:2. Hold on. I don't want to lose my spot here. Ezra 9:2 reads, "They have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them. And the leaders and the officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness." So what this is basically, let me read it 9, 1 and 2, okay? It's about intermarriage, and this is Ezra. Say, Ezra is part of Ezra's prayer, and it's actually not Ezra's prayer yet. In fact, Ezra ends with this whole rant against intermarriage, okay? "After these things had been done, the leaders came to me and said, 'The people of Israel, including the priests and the Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples with their detestable practices, like those of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. They have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them, and the leaders and the officials have led the way." So Ezra is calling the Israelites the holy race. Another issue here is that in these books, Ezra is the first time we come across the term Jew and Jewish. Jew referring to somebody who is considered a Jew, like as a type of person, as a race, or doesn't say religion necessarily, and Jewish is the adjective, okay? Up to this point, there is references to Israelites, the Israelites, okay? And God's special race is the Israelites. So, but I'm not so sure what the connection between Jew and Israelite is at this point. You might think, well, that's stupid, Kenty. Jews are Israelites. Well, maybe not. I don't know. There's no clear connection, so to speak. And I'm reading the book of the Bible in 90 days. So, if you're going to argue with me, then read the book and Bible in 90 days. I'm just talking about it from a literary standpoint. So these three books sort of drop off. There's like a ledge. They're very different from what has come previously. Okay, guilty and intermarriage. So Nehemiah talks about the rebuilding of the temple in a different viewpoint. That's from Nehemiah's viewpoint. And there's some interesting things in there too, but I don't have them written down. Oh, yes. Okay. Remember I was talking about how I thought about Hitler, the extermination of the Jews? Hitler probably got this from these three books. In Nehemiah 3:11, let me find this. Nehemiah 3:11. Okay. Malchijah, son of Harim and Hashub, son of Pahath Moab. Hold on. Son of Pahath Moab repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. So, that was part of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, they talk about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, but they don't necessarily, I don't think they mention rebuilding the temple. No, they rebuild Jerusalem. They're talking about the fish gate and stuff. So this is actually about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, these two. But the ovens, there's ovens in there. Huge ovens, it sounds like. So I thought to myself, this is probably what, this is why the Bible can be dangerous, I guess, is that, some of these ideas are really not very social. Now let's get into Esther with one of her things. Let's hear. Okay, there's a lot in Esther which is really nasty. Okay. Because, okay, yes, there was a group of people who were going to exterminate the Jews. It was like this big Haman said, okay, let's exterminate the Jews on the 13th of whatever month. And they're like, yeah. And so Esther found, they found out about this, and Esther told the king, and the king eventually killed Haman. But what happened is that the Jews then went on a holy crusade, so to speak, killing everybody. And there's a whole list of how many people they killed. You know, it's like they're bloody. And so anyway, here's something interesting about an interesting thing in the Bible here about Israelites and Jewish. Now remember that the Israelites is from a family of people, right? Jacob's sons, and they're the Israelites. Jacob was called Israel, okay, which means something. It's, I should know, but it's you can look in Genesis or whatever. So, so this is what is interesting. Let me find it. Okay, Mordecai, which is Esther's uncle, left the king's presence wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold and purple robe of fine linen, and the city of Susa held a joyous celebration. For the Jews it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor. In every province and in every city, wherever the edict of the king went, there was joy and gladness among the Jews, with feasting and celebrating. And many people of other nationalities became Jews because fear of the Jews had seized them. So, if you think about it, you can't become an Israelite. You either are an Israelite or you're not, because it's a genetic thing, depending on your father and your mother. Remember, God said, don't mingle with the neighbors, right? He wanted to keep this line pure. Now, this is where I think, you know, Hitler got his ideas for the Holocaust. Hi, John. How you doing? I'm doing a section of the show about what I'm reading about Nehemiah and Esther and Ezra, and how I think Hitler got his idea for the pure race from there. Yeah. So that's where I'm coming from. So you have here, though, in Esther, people who are becoming Jews. Now, so that means you can't be, so that makes me think that Jews are not necessarily Israelites. Because Israelites is a type of is a people, you know, it's a genetic thing. It's the family of Jacob, right? Not you can't become. Well, I guess you could marry into, right? So who was going to marry Jacob? But he didn't want them marrying anybody else. They had to stay within their own. Oh, there's the 12 tribes of Israel. So they could, they're from the 12 sons of Jacob, right? Yeah. So they could intermarry with each other, right? But you're not supposed to bring anybody else in. So I guess that's how they had, you know, diversity, genetic diversity, how they survived. Who knows? But anyway, these three books, it's like, they almost like don't belong in the Bible. They have not. They sort of disrupt the narrative, and so I'm still wondering. It's like all of a sudden we have Jews, you know, mentioned by as Jews, and so it makes me wonder where they came from and why this new name for apparently Israelites, because there's no clear connection. So that's it. Bible in 90 days. You can buy a copy of it at my Amazon.com store for whatever, for $15 or whatever. So go check it out. I recommend it. And I recommend it strongly for people who don't even believe. Well, you know, I'm not necessarily a believer. I mean, I believe in God, but I don't have my theology is certainly not what one would consider a Christian theology, though I think I consider myself a Christian. I should say mainstream Christian theology. It's not mainstream Christian theology, but I am enjoying reading this, the Bible, and it has codified my, it is beginning to codify my understanding of what my theology is. And so when I read through it a few times, I'll be able to quote chapter and verse about the salvation plan of what myself, what I believe the salvation is, what I believe salvation is. So, because you know what? You know, God speaks to us individually. So anyway, because it's a personal God. Anyway, that's it. On to the next section. You're so disappointed. I see it in your eyes. I am not all you hoped for. I realize all could change tomorrow. Regret would turn to pride if I had you by my side. I could amount to something, no matter where I'd be. It all depends on one thing, if you believed in me. I'd change my way of living, the right from wrong I'd see, if you would be forgiving, if you believed in me. Someone may tell you about me, of some bygone day. Have reason to doubt me through what they may say. In spite of all I'm blamed for, you trust me patiently. I'd reach the goal I've aimed for if you believed in me. You've been mighty patient, so why should I complain? Maybe you've decided it's all in vain. Seems our dreams are ended, still one more chance I see. Let me make this final plea. I could amount to something, no matter where I'd be. It all depends on one thing, if you believed in me. I'd change my way of living, the right from wrong I'd see, if you would be forgiving, if you believed in me. Someone may tell you about me, of some bygone day. You may have reason to doubt me, through what they may say. In spite of all I'm blamed for, you trust me patiently. I'd reach the goal I've aimed for if you believed in me.
This section of the Flatus Show is a little special, which I normally don't do, but since it's the Christmas season, I thought I'd share it with you. And these are clips from some of my favorite films. I'll have links for them on my in my Amazon.com Flatus Show store. So if you're interested in buying them, you can pick them up there. They're not to everyone's taste. They're from John. My voice. You know, I need to do some voice exercises before I start talking. Get my mouth moving correctly. Anyway, they're from John Waters films. Hi, Jose. Jose's walking away. Anyway, The first clip is from Female Troubles, and it's basically the opening part of the movie. It runs about 5 minutes, and you meet Dawn Davenport, the main character, and how she feels about her Christmas. Actually, her and her friends think about Christmas, and ending with Dawn Davenport and her family opening up Christmas gifts. So here is that clip.
I'd like to set fire to this dump.
Just because we're pretty, everybody's jealous. It's like a prison here. Even at Christmas, it's like a prison.
Don't even mention Christmas, Chicklet. My parents are going to be real sorry if I don't get them cha-cha heels. I asked and I better get.
I never get enough Christmas presents. Everybody's so damn cheap. I should be getting a lot. And I'm going to take it all back and get the money for it. You could do that now. We'll probably get caught for hooking this period, but who cares? Who cares if we fail? It'd be fun to be expelled.
I hope I get arrested. I hate this school and all these ignorant teachers who don't know one thing. I'm the one who should be teaching. I hate my parents, too.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Go on. Come see what Santa brought you.
Oh, Christ, I'm coming.
Please, Howard, try to get through this without a fight. I can't stand another one, not on Christmas.
I'd better get them cha-cha heels.
How very sweet of you, dear.
Merry Christmas, honey bunch. Hey, wonder what this could be. A fishing rod?
Oh. Won't you join us in a carol before we open our gifts?
Oh, Mother.
Ah, come on, Dawn. It adds to the spirit.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
What are these?
Shoes, Dawn.
Those aren't the right kind. I told you cha-cha heels, black ones.
Nice girls don't wear cha-cha heels.
Give me those presents. I'll never wear those ugly shoes. I told you the kind I wanted. You ruined my present.
Please, Dawn, not on Christmas.
Get off me, you ugly witch.
You devil, come here. You'll pay for this. You devil, Dawn Davenport, look at your mother. I'm going to...
Leave me alone.
Don't touch that devil.
Don't touch
me. Come back.
Lay off me. I hate you! Fuck you! Fuck you both, you awful people! You're not my parents! I hate you! I hate the doubt! I hate Christmas!
Not on Christmas! Not on
Christmas! Get back in here, Dawn Davenport! You're going to a home for girls! That's where we're going to put you! I'm calling the juvenile authorities right now!
Isn't that funny? I think it's hilarious. I saw that movie, I don't know, 20 years ago for the first time, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't even find it on a video to buy, and a friend of mine worked at Blockbuster. Or was it Blockbuster? I forget. Might not have been Blockbuster. I think it was actually a mom and pop video store. And she had it. She worked there, and she told me they had a copy, so that's where I used to rent it. So she made me a copy of it, and I wore the thing out, and I waited for years for them to release it. And then eventually, they released it on DVD where you can buy it, and I recommend it to all of my listeners if you like sick and twisted films. It's a terrific film. But anyway, It's okay. The next clip is from an entirely different movie, but it's a John Waters film. It's called Cecil Be Demented, and it's more is one of his more recent films. It's the one before his last one. The last one he did is called... It's about sex addicts. What the hell is it called? Anyway, I have a link on my in my Amazon.com store for all John Waters films. I did a whole page for him. So, what's it called? A Dirty Shame. That's the latest film. But anyway, this is from Cecil Be Demented, and it's Christmas related. And here's the clip.
In this scene, you guys are the avenging angels of underground cinema.
Well, let those fat cat producers know.
Yeah, that Maryland isn't safe for their kind of movies.
Cherish, this is America, you know. It's a free country. People can make bad movies if they so desire.
Not anymore, they don't.
You think just because you've made real movies, you're better than me, don't you?
Oh, please.
Do you know why I became a porno star?
Cherish has recovered memory.
When I was 10 years old, my entire family fucked me under the Christmas tree.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I bet you are. Jingle balls, jingle balls, my stupid brother started singing. You think that's funny?
No, I don't.
That's all behind you now, Cherish. We're here, and we're making movies.
So, I hope you enjoyed these clips. I hope you get to see the full films because they're really terrific, and they just, you know, that's part of my sick and twisted humor. So there you go. Anyway, there you go. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoyed it. Buy the DVDs. Bye.
Blue star when I am blue, all I do is look at you, for seem to find peace of mind, and I never get lonely. When you shine from afar, with you away up there, I don't dare to have a care, for to show that your glow lets me know that you know that I'm not blue, blue star.
Our medical person is back, and he's going to talk about his own personal history with a condition called trigger finger, and he's going to talk about the treatment he had for trigger finger, as well as the fine what was actually what ended up being the cure for his condition, this particular instance of his condition. So, medical person of some undisclosed Boston medical facility, welcome to the Flatus Show again.
Hi, Kenty. Happy to be here.
So, tell us a little bit about what trigger finger is. And then we'll go on from there. I'll ask you some questions. You can continue. So what is trigger finger?
Well, trigger finger is you first notice that you have trigger finger when you wake up in the morning and one of your fingers is kind of locked in a closed position. Like if you bend your finger, like curl your fingers, like mm-hmm. you're going to make a fist.
Yeah.
Like one of those fingers will be in a sort of semi-locked in that closed position, and when you try to open it, it there's resistance, and it kind of clicks. It opens, but it then clicks, and it has some pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and how often is this?
That's actually how you feel. What it is? Do you want me to explain actually what it
well,
is?
Well, yeah. What is it
in the medical?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to give my medical person's knowledge on?
Yep. What it is?
Okay. Trigger finger is if you think about your finger, your extended finger. Your finger has a bone going through it. Mm-hmm. And then parallel with the bone is the tendon. The tendon is attached to the bone. And then wrapped around the tendon and the bone in, I think maybe in two or three different locations, are these pieces of tissue, which are called pulleys. So when you bend your finger and unbend your finger, the tendon passes through the pulleys.
Mm-hmm.
And trigger finger occurs when the tendon gets swollen or inflamed for some reason. And I don't think they know the reason. And the tendon cannot pass through the pulley, which is what causes that clicking and that triggering.
Okay.
So that's what it is.
So, and no one knows what causes that inflammation.
Well, in my case, when I went to the doctor the first time, he thought that maybe an elevation in blood uric acid, blood serum uric acid, mm-hmm. could have caused it. That being the blood serum uric acid elevation caused by blood pressure medication. But he wasn't sure. But that's one cause of it.
Doesn't uric acid also cause gout? Is that related?
Actually, it does. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that related?
Don't know.
Okay. So how long have you had this condition?
I don't know. Maybe a little over a year, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what percentage of the population is affected by trigger finger?
No, I do not. I do know that it's more common in the fifth and sixth decades of life.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about...
And I also know that it occurs most often in the ring finger, which is what happened to me.
Okay. Is it going to happen in any finger and thumb?
Yep. And thumb. Yep. Correct.
Can it happen in your toes?
I haven't heard of that.
Okay.
Haven't heard of that.
Is there any other part of the body where, like, arms or legs that have the same, could
like
have the same
condition? Trigger penis or something like that?
Yeah, maybe? Like trigger penis or trigger anus.
Not that I know of.
Okay. Okay.
You know, we need to pander to the lewd and lascivious natures of your listeners.
I know. That's why I added that, because they wouldn't be interested otherwise.
Right.
So, okay, so you've had it for several months. What was your first treatment for it?
So you go to the doctor, and the doctor sends you to the hand surgeon.
Mm-hmm. What's he called?
Who, the hand surgeon?
What's his official name?
Who?
Yeah, the hand surgeon.
Hand surgeon.
Is it not like podiatrist?
No, hand surgeon.
Just hand
surgeons. Yeah, hand surgeons are either orthopedic surgeons or plastic surgeons.
Okay.
They can be one or the other.
Mm-hmm. And yours was?
Orthopedic, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went to the hand surgeon, and he said that I needed to get an injection into that tendon of steroids.
Steroids?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they illegal?
No. Those are anabolic steroids.
Oh, anabolic steroids. Okay, so they used regular good steroids into your finger.
Yes, they did.
And how'd that help?
It made it go away.
Made it go away?
Yep,
really?
For a period of time.
So,
and then it came back.
Let me ask you this. How did trigger finger affect your life? Like writing with a pencil or playing the piano or painting?
I play the piano, and so it did affect my piano playing.
How did it affect it?
Well, that finger felt kind of heavy and cumbersome,
mm-hmm.
so I couldn't play rapidly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? Okay. So that did, apparently did not cure your trigger finger.
Right. So you go back to the doctor.
Can you hold on for 1 minute?
Certainly.
I know this is rude in an interview, but I need to. I need to stir the hash that I'm making, homemade hash,
with a wonderful roast I made the other night. It was Muslim beef with a Indian spices surrounding it. This is also part of the cooking portion of the Flatus show.
Sounds good, Kenty.
It is. It's delicious. And I'm cooking it with diced up potatoes. So
I wouldn't know because I'm phoning in this interview from an undisclosed location.
Yes, that's correct. That is correct. I just want my listeners to know that the medical person is coming from an undisclosed location.
And so, the Flatus show does not support nepotism of any kind.
Never. Never. I would never have anybody within the family on the show except for Jose, who is my co-host. Jose, you want to say hi to our guest? He ignores me. So we're back to your trigger finger after that commercial for homemade hash, roast beef hash from Kenty. And so you had your trigger finger. What happened after that? It didn't cure it, right? So how long did it last? How long did your cure last?
I think it probably lasted about 6 or 7 months.
Really? That long?
Yeah. So I went back to the doctor, And he said, well, we can give you one more shot.
Mm-hmm.
One more steroid shot.
Yeah.
Sometimes the first shot works. Sometimes the second shot works. Mm-hmm. And if the second shot doesn't work, then you need to have surgery.
Okay.
So I got the second shot.
Oh. And did that cure it?
For a few months.
For a few months.
And
now
then
let me
it came
ask...
back again.
Okay. So is there are there any famous people who have had this condition that you know of?
Well, I think maybe Roy Rogers' horse, Trigger, may
Trigger.
Have had Trigger Finger.
Oh, that's why he's called Trigger.
Yeah.
Okay. But nothing really cured Trigger.
And John, you know, John Lennon's song...
Trigger. Happiness is a warm trigger.
Yeah, happiness is a warm gun.
Gun, oh, yeah.
It's actually about somebody with trigger finger.
With the trigger finger.
When I put my finger on your trigger.
Yeah, trigger finger.
Right.
Hold on for a second.
Again? Again, warm. Kenty?
I need to turn it down.
You need to get it together, Kenty.
You know, David Frost would never do this to his guest, but in the Flatus show,
it's all open. So it didn't work. So how did you feel after the second time and it didn't work?
Well, I thought, Jesus, I have to have surgery, I guess. So I went back to the doctor.
So what did he say?
He said, well, he says, I'll give you a third shot if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we don't recommend a third shot because a third shot can cause... a rupture in the tendon sometimes. Has never happened to me, but blah, blah, blah. So I said, no, I think I'll have the surgery.
Mm-hmm. And so you had the surgery.
So I had the surgery.
And tell me, what was it? How do you get prepared for a surgery like this? What are the procedures you went through up to the actual surgery?
Yeah, it was pretty mundane. I had some blood tests. You know, they want to know that you're not going to drop dead on the table, you know, or you don't have any underlying, you know, horrible condition. So... I had some blood tests. I had an EKG.
Yeah. An EKG, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for your heart, right?
Yeah. And that was it. And then you you go to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and you have a visit with the, what's it called? I think it's called the pre-test center or something. That's what it's called, pre-test. And you meet with a nurse and an anesthesiologist.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask you a lot of questions, and they tell you about the surgery, and they tell you about the anesthesia, and they ask you if you have any questions, et cetera. And then...
did you have any questions?
I had questions about the anesthesia, not about the surgery.
Okay, and what were your questions about the anesthesia?
Well...
Not Anastasia, like I talked about last week. Anastasia, Princess of Russia, next on the Flatus Show.
Well, anesthesia is the most dangerous part of a surgery, so... I know that, so okay. I wanted to know what kind of agents they were going to give me.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, we talked about the different kinds of anesthesia that is offered in this operation. Like, they can put the whole arm to sleep, or they can put the whole hand to sleep, or they can put the whole body to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I elected to have a block of the hand,
mm-hmm.
and then happy drugs, IV happy drugs.
I see. So that's good, because that's probably the least intrusive for your well-being.
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, recently on the Flatus Show, I talked about facelifts, and the Indians Indians from India, who perfected a technique to redevelop the nose to help, you know, put a new nose on your face, they did their surgery without anesthesia.
Well, everybody did their surgery without anesthesia before the invention of anesthesia.
How do you think that would have felt if you didn't have anesthesia?
Well, my surgery?
Yeah.
I'm sure it would have hurt a lot. I'm sure it would have hurt a lot. But, you know, you're right. They used to do amputations without anesthesia.
Yeah. They just put, like, something in their mouth to bite down onto. Maybe gave them some whiskey to drink.
Yeah, they probably drank, yeah.
Yeah.
But, actually, anesthesia was invented in Boston. Did you know that?
Wow.
Yeah. And was first administered at the Massachusetts General Hospital.
Really? And where's the Massachusetts General Hospital?
It's in Boston.
It's in Boston, but mm-hmm. where in Boston? Do you know?
I do. It's kind of in downtown Boston, I guess you'd call
Charles
it.
Street?
Well, it's near Charles Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually on Fruit Street.
Oh, that's right. Fruit Street.
Yeah.
Fruits of the Spirit. That's episode 59A and B. Interview with Joe G. Anyway. So they had the first anesthesia there. So up to that point, people in Massachusetts who went to the hospital did not have anesthesia.
People anywhere had no anesthesia.
Hmm.
And so the first anesthesia, of course, was ether.
Did you ever have ether anesthesia?
I actually did when I was a kid.
And how'd that work?
Awful. It's terrible.
What? How they administer it?
They put a gauze, piece of gauze over your face, and they drop the anesthesia, which is a liquid, the ether, onto the gauze, and you inhale it, and you go to sleep. But you have terrible dreams while it's happening, and it makes you really sick when you wake up, and they don't use it anymore at all.
Never. Do you think they would if they got rid of all the other drugs?
I guess.
Okay. Just wondering. Because I'm wondering, like, you know, what about people who, like, live out in, like, bunkers in Montana who are afraid the government's going to take over the world, and they're, like, you know, are storing up on stuff? Do you think they would use, like, store up on that drug? Instead of regular, you know, anesthetic drugs? In case they had to amputate a leg, they could use ether instead of whiskey. What do you think?
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you chose the hand block for your hand.
Right.
So what did you have to do anything special preparation? Like, did you have to evacuate your bowels for 2 days?
No, just don't eat after midnight the night before.
Uh-huh. And then what happened the next day?
Oh, and no aspirin.
No aspirin. Why is that?
Yeah, because they don't want to – if you – because when they cut, you bleed. So an aspirin is an anti – Coagulant. So they want you to coagulate.
I see. So they don't want you to bleed all over the place.
Correct.
Just like Tsar Nicholas II's son, who is a hemophiliac.
This latest show, number 97F.
It will be. 97F will be the Russian Revolution with Anastasia and the hemophiliac brother.
Shall I talk about the operation?
Yeah, I do. I'm interested in the operation. So you arrive at the hospital. Right, and then what? Tell us your story.
Well, this was the most interesting part. You arrive at the hospital. You show up at the surgical day surgery unit.
Mm-hmm. So you mean it was just a day? You didn't have to stay overnight or at all?
Oh, no. I went in by – I was there by 6:45 and out by 10 o'clock. A friend drove me. And –
Can you hold on for a second? I want to get some more
again?
Wine.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to be interviewed on this show again. That's really annoying.
And so my Flintish show listeners can understand, this isn't brought to you by any kind of wine company, but the wine I'm drinking is a Chardonnay 2004 from Western Australia. It's called, I can't even read the label, Precantine. It has a screw top lid.
Dream something.
Yeah. And I was told.
How would I know that, though?
By the wine.
How would I
know
what kind of wine it is?
I was told by the wine. I think you're psychic. We'll have to talk about your psychic abilities. I was told by the wine seller that the screw tops are really good and that, you know, it doesn't need to have a cork to be a good bottle of wine. So anyway, we're back. You arrived at the hospital in the day surgery, and then what?
Well, you check in. They take your blood pressure and your temperature, and they ask you about a million times, have you had anything to eat after 12 o'clock, and, you know, which finger is it that they're going to operate on, and blah, 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 because they don't want to make any mistakes and get sued, of course. Then when they finally have determined that you're ready, they wheel you in to the, I guess it's called a holding unit. It's like this hallway outside the operating room.
Okay.
There, you meet with the anesthesiologist.
Okay.
Who, in my case, was this, I would say she was maybe 60, 65-year-old woman with a Texas accent. In fact, she was from Texas. I asked her. And she had actually shaved off her eyebrows.
She shaved off her eyebrows?
And repainted them on with some kind of pencil, but they were blue. So she had blue eyebrows.
Yeah. Did you know, actually, just not to get off your story, is that the Yellow Rose of Texas...
We haven't gotten off it at all.
The Yellow Rose of Texas is a song to which you can sing every Emily Dickinson poem.
Actually, I did know that.
Okay, maybe my latest show listeners didn't. Okay, yeah. So she shaved off her eyebrows, which is...
I could even sing one of those
go ahead.
Emily Dickinson poems, I think that'd be good. Like, to this tune of The Yellow Rose of Texas.
Okay.
I felt the funeral in my brain and mourners to and fro.
Wow, very good.
Or how about this? I heard a fly buzz when I died. Da, 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 da.
Very good. So, okay, the woman shaved off her eyebrows and she was your anesthesiologist. Did that gain confidence in you or decrease your confidence in her?
I was confident in her because she was an older person.
So you think she knew?
I thought she was experienced.
So do you think she was around before anesthesia was around?
No.
No? No? So you don't think she, like, put, like, she was the person who put the stick in your mouth?
No, 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 no.
No? No? Okay. No. So she wasn't that old.
No. And so, and she said, we can do this three ways.
Mm-hmm.
You can be asleep for the whole thing, mm-hmm. you can be awake for the whole thing, or you can be partially asleep and partially awake.
Mm-hmm. And what did you choose?
I chose the partial.
Mm-hmm.
The partial.
Why?
Because I wanted to minimize the risk of the anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to get the happy drugs, mm-hmm. which are fentanyl and Versed.
Yeah.
Which are a combination of a benzodiazepine and a... that's the Versed, and the fentanyl is a fentanyl, I think, is a barbiturate. I'm not sure though about that. Mm-hmm. So, and those drugs, one is a hypnotic, and one is and makes you forget what has happened.
That's hypnotic.
Hypnotic means sleep.
Okay.
And yeah, so those are the drugs. Those are IV drugs, and they make you really not care what's going on. Mm-hmm. You're awake, mm-hmm. but you don't really care. Some people are awake, and you don't really care what's going on.
So let me ask you this. Did you see your hand being cut into?
I did not.
So what did they do, cover that up? Or?
They did, but we haven't – I'm not actually even operating room yet.
Okay, so you're talking to the eyebrowless woman. You chose half asleep, half awake.
Right.
And now what happened?
Well, so we decided that I was going to have the happy drugs,
mm-hmm.
which they give you as they wheel you into the operating room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you don't mind being wheeled in, which I didn't mind. And then this third drug, which I was going to get for about 2 minutes of the operation, and that portion is the portion where they put the block into your hand, and that's the part that hurts the most, apparently. So they wheel you in, they say, okay, you ready? I say, yep, ready. So they give you this third drug, which is called propofol, and that puts you to sleep, or put me to sleep, for about 2 minutes.
You didn't remember a damn thing.
During that time, they put the block in my hand,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I should say that the whole experience felt like I was at a party. That's how good these drugs
really?
Are.
Really?
You don't care about anything. You mm-hmm. feel like you're at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And they put these beautiful, clean, white sheets over you that they have taken out of a warmer.
Wow.
Yeah. So you just feel so safe.
Yeah.
It's all an illusion, of course, because the drugs are making you feel that way.
Yeah. Did you see the color of the drugs they put into you?
No, I did not.
No, I did not.
So after I woke up, they said, okay, we're going to start the operation. And so they started. I felt nothing because my hand was numbed mm-hmm. and I was on happy drugs. And during the operation, I had a chat with the surgeon about what kind of material he was going to use to redo his deck.
Really?
Yeah.
And what made you choose that as the topic of discussion?
I didn't choose it. I think he was talking about it to one of the nurses. So I just joined in.
Ah.
You know, are you going to use Trex, which is kind of a synthetic material, mm-hmm. or are you going to use real wood, and what kind of wood, et cetera? Mm-hmm. In the meantime, he's operating on my finger,
mm-hmm.
which is on the other side of a curtain, so I can't see it.
That's really interesting because, you know, me and my partner, we need to get new deck. And so what would you choose for, like, a decking? What did the doctor use?
Well, he went with a real – I think he probably went with a – he went with a real wood – and probably an expensive wood because he's a surgeon, so he can afford that.
Yeah.
Wood requires a lot of maintenance.
Okay. I think me and my partner are going to use the fake wood.
the fake wood never needs any maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
However, it does stain and discolor.
Can or always?
Yeah, I guess it can. I don't know. I've heard various stories.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay.
I guess the one thing I haven't said was what actually happens during this operation.
So, okay.
Or what the operation is.
So, what is the operation?
The operation is they cut into your finger. Actually, it's...
From the top or the bottom of your hand?
The palm, from the palm side.
Palm side.
Oh! They cut into the... It's not the finger. It's actually the part of the hand that is... That is most adjacent to the bottom part of the finger.
Okay.
So they cut into there, and they what they do is, like you remember earlier, we talked about the bone and the tendon.
Yeah.
And the pulley.
Yeah, yeah. The pulley is wrapped around it, yeah.
Right. What they do is actually they snip that pulley.
Snip
so
it?
They snip it with scissors to loosen it so that they don't cut it completely through, but they snip it so that it's looser. So that the tendon can pass through the pulley again, and that's the cure.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So, how long did the operation take?
I think about 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Can you hold on for a second? I have to check my...
Again?
Yeah, again.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to hold on, too, because I need to refresh myself here. Little boy. Little boy's a boy dog. Yeah. Good King Wenceslas went out on the feast of Stephen, and there's no ray on above. Crisp and crisp and even, lightly shone the moon that night. Deep and pum pum pada, pum 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 pum, gathering into few. Okay, I have to excuse myself as well. Can you hold on, please, Kenty?
I can. The hash is delicious.
It's actually finished right now, but it's browning up in the thing. And it's wonderful. So, anyway, the hash. I'll talk about the hash. What I did is I had a roast beef. Okay. I went to a Muslim meat market. Because a friend of mine, who's Muslim... Hold on. He's a Muslim, and he can't eat regular beef. He has to have Muslim beef. So I went to the Muslim meat market in Boston to buy the beef so I could make it so he could eat it at this party I was going to. So, because no one ever does, so he has to eat vegetarian. So I got the beef. So I used garam masala, which I made myself, and... What I do? And I covered the beef with it, with a dry rub, and roasted it for an hour or whatever. Came out perfectly. I sliced it. So needless to say, I had a bunch of beef left over. So I chopped it up into cubes, like a centimeter cubes. And chopped up some potato. Put into a frying pan. I'm frying that up, and it's browning and cooking. It's actually all ready. So all I have to do now is prepare a vegetable for the meal, and then I'll have my meal. As soon as the Flatus Show interview is over. So that's what's going on. So soon I'll be talking about Anastasia, not Anesthesia. Or maybe I'll do Anesthesia Anastasia. Or anesthetizing Anastasia. How's that? Or maybe the history of ether. Or the history of Anastasia. Or something like that. Hold on. I will do something festive for you while we're waiting. Silent night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace.
sleep in heavenly peace.
Harmony is there, courtesy of an undisclosed person. Let's see here. We'll do some other stuff while we're waiting here, right?
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Ha, ha, ha! Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to ride and sing a sleigh song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Isn't that fun? Let's try this one.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King, King of Angels.
That's too difficult. The chords are too difficult. Are we back?
Hi, Kenty.
Okay. Okay, the undisclosed person is back for the rest of the interview. So, you're talking to the surgeon about your roof decking, while you were having your hand cut into. It took about 30 minutes for the surgery to finish. Is that correct?
Correct, and then it was over.
And then it was over. So what did they do after they were done and, you know, they sewed you up? Did that include sewing up the 30 minutes?
Yep.
Okay, so what did they do? You're finished.
Go to the recovery room.
And what did you do there?
You recover.
Did they give you anything to eat or what?
Yes, actually, because I had nothing. They gave me, what did I ask for? Cranberry juice. I had cranberry juice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cranberry juice is a diuretic. That make you pee?
I don't know. Maybe it did.
Did they catheterize you?
They did not.
Okay. So you were in the recovery room.
For a very short time because I recovered from these anesthetics, which is so short acting, in a very short while.
Jose, what are you doing? Under the table. He's under the desk, my desk, mister. So, okay.
I think you need to train that dog.
I know. He needs to be trained. But he is so festive. Listen, he has his little bells on. It's like Christmas time.
Did he, has he participated in Christmas at all this year?
He has. He is my partner has created a Christmas CD. And we put a hat on Jose, little tie-on hat of antlers, and we took a picture of him. He looks like the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the dog from the Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So there he is. So cute.
Sure he is. I actually have seen his picture on your website.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Yeah, he is. So are you, Kenty.
Oh, thank you. I am so touched. I wonder how many of my listeners think I'm adorable.
I don't know. I wonder if Randy and Andy think you're adorable.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think Joe G probably thinks you're adorable.
Maybe. I don't know.
He probably does.
Doesn't
Tranny
make
Wreck
a difference.
Probably thinks you're adorable.
Really? You think so? I'm so touched. What do you think about Madge Weinstein? Do you think Madge Weinstein thinks I'm adorable? She probably thinks I'm a thorn in her ass.
You know what? Who gives a fuck what Madge Weinstein thinks? She's a big, angry, aggressive cunt.
Well, she is angry, and she is aggressive. That is true.
And she's a cunt.
And she's a cunt. It's true. All those things are true. But I can't help not. I can't help but like her.
I dislike her so much.
I know. I know. And I for all of her faults, I still like her. I don't know why. I think it's crazy. You sniffing there, Jose?
So, okay. So.
So anyway, so what happened then? So that's it. So
how long? They put a bandage on you. You go home. You feel great.
What kind of bandage they put on you? Like a Band-Aid?
No, no. It was a. It covered my whole hand and my wrist.
My God.
Yeah.
So how did you work? How did you wash yourself?
Well, I had to put a bag over my hand mm-hmm. and arm with a rubber band so that I could wash.
And have it work?
I didn't go to work the day after the surgery. And the next day, I think I did go. And I used the other hand to type.
And did it work out okay?
Yeah, well, it was a little slow, but...
Good little Jose.
The pain was excruciating on the first day after the block wore off.
Mm-hmm.
Excruciating.
Did your friend help you at all?
What friend?
Feed you chicken? You know, the person who took you to the hospital, they help you out?
No, actually, no.
Sure they didn't help you out? Your friend didn't help you out? Give you chicken soup?
No, my friend just dropped me off at the door and then left.
Interesting. That's not the story I heard. But... The story I heard is your friend really went to all, you know, to all different measures to make you feel comfortable.
No, I was totally alone.
Totally alone.
Yep.
So, okay, so how long did it take you to keep, how long did you keep the bandage on?
Well, I was supposed to keep the big bandage on for a week.
A week? That's a long time.
Yeah, a week. I only lasted 4 days because it drove me nuts. Itched and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I took it off and I replaced it with a... like a big Band-Aid. I'm going to say the big Band-Aid. It was probably 2 inches by 1 inch.
From Band-Aid. Band-Aid products from Band-Aid. Anyway, go on.
And I did that until... Well, I did that for another several days. And then I put just a real Band-Aid, like the Band-Aid that you think of when you think of Band-Aid
mm-hmm.
on my... finger.
Did you use any kind of antibiotic cream, like Neosporin antibiotic cream for all your cuts?
I'd use Neosporin.
Mm-hmm. And how'd that work? Did it make you feel better?
I didn't get infected.
Mm-hmm. So Neosporin works. Neosporin. So, okay, so where are we at now with your, and what, where are we at in your level? Did they take the stitches out?
Not yet. Next Tuesday.
How many stitches do you have?
Six.
Six stitches?
Yep.
Sure it's not five stitches?
No, it's six.
I thought it was five.
Well.
Maybe you ought to count them.
How would you know that, though?
I don't know. I'm psychic. Yeah. Look at your six. Finger and count them.
I did that. There are six.
Sure? There's not five? Okay.
Six.
So we're finished with this conversation. Do you want to sing a song?
Sure.
Okay. Let me find a song here. It'll be a Christmas carol since this is the Christmas season. Jesus is the reason for the Christmas season.
Oh, my God. Who said that?
I don't know. Could be anybody. Jesus. How about O Christmas Tree? Okay?
Whatever you say.
This is the first note. Can you hear that over the phone? Oh.
Yes, I can.
Oh, Christmas Tree. Oh. Wait, hold on.
Whoops, Kenty, you're not in a key there.
Oh, Christmas tree.
Oh, Christmas tree.
Oh, Christmas tree. Your branches green delight us. Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree. Your branches green delight us. They're green when... summer days are bright. They're green when winter snow is white. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. Your branches green delight us. Latest show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE, or you can reach me at kenty@theflatishow.com. Thank you for listening.